Welcome to Future of Journalism, a podcast from the Reuters Institute for the Study of Journalism at the University of Oxford. I'm Mitali Mukherjee, director of the Institute. This is a special series of our podcast dedicated to the Digital News Report 2026. Over seven episodes, what we're attempting to do is dive into the most comprehensive piece of research on news consumption worldwide. It's also the 15th edition of the report, and it's based on almost 100,000 interviews with news consumers from all six continents and 48 markets, so nearly 50, I was going to say. In this episode of the series, we're joined by co-author of the report and senior research associate, Rasmus Gleiss Nielsen. Rasmus has written a chapter in this report that focuses on what people think about the idea of impartial news. So we're going to talk about what that term means when it comes to news, whether people prefer news that takes particular lines, and whether or not there's any variation both in terms of age groups, but more importantly, across countries as well. Rasmus, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So definitions first, as always, Rasmus. What do we mean when we use the term impartial news?
So I think here it's important to stress, as we always do, that the Digital News Report is about the public's conception of news and journalism, how they use it, how they think of it, how they judge it. So in this context, really we are interested in people's perception of and preferences for either news sources that seek to not adopt a particular point of view, or news sources that take an explicit point of view on current affairs. So the background is a rich and deep and complicated discussion in professional journalism, in scholarly work around the ethics and philosophy and values of news and media, where I think this is the simplest way to think about it, again, is the idea that there are some news outlets that aspire to what is often called impartiality. The term is, I think, particularly important in the UK, where it's part of the regulatory environment and it's part of the mission statement of the BBC. But sometimes it's also expressed in other ways through, for example, the Reuters News Agency's commitment to the trust principles of independence, integrity, or freedom from bias. So these are organizations that are very explicit about the desire to not take sides on major issues of the day, no matter how divisive, no matter how controversial, no matter how clear some of us individually might think the issue at hand is, morally, politically, or otherwise, versus other outlets that are very explicit and clear that they do take a side. A prominent example of this is The Guardian, the UK newspaper that has as its amongst its stated goals to be the world's leading liberal voice. This is not an outlet that purports to be impartial. This is an outlet that's very clear about its editorial position and its underlying worldview. And it's, of course, not alone. Historically, many newspapers have been explicitly partisan in their editorial line. In America, it's perhaps most prominently associated with cable television and talk radio, and of course, online too. We see many voices, both journalistic, news media, and others, that are very clear about their line and their view of the world and make no attempts to present themselves as impartial, even as others still hew to that notion or have committed to it as they entered this digital media environment.
And I was going to ask what the alternatives to impartial news are, but I think you've explained that a little bit. So being explicit about what stance you're taking, being partisan, etc. It's a question we've delved into in the past in previous iterations of the report, Rasmus. Why did it feel pertinent to explore at this moment in time?
I think there are both principled and practical reasons for revisiting this theme and getting a sense of how the public at large and different groups within the public in different countries think about this issue. I think the principled one is that there is a long-running principled critique of the notion of impartiality from some parts of journalism, some parts of scholarship, some parts of society who are of the view that impartiality is at best impossible. And at worst, an injustice in that it risks coming across a sort of false balance of he said, she said journalism that treats fundamentally unlike positions or epistemologically fundamentally unlike positions as if they were equal, and accept views on shape of the earth differ type discussions to proliferate in public debate, or treat forms of discourse that some might regard as hate speech as if they are an equal and legitimate part of public discourse and should be treated as such, or for that matter, people with a long record of serial falsehoods and fabrication as if they are authoritative and legitimate sources on par with others. So I think there is a principled critique of the notion of impartiality that's always been with journalism going back centuries, but has been accentuated in recent years. And I think that's just part of the practical reason that we wanted to look at this again. Many of us around the world live in deeply disputatious societies characterized by great disagreement about the big issues of our time. We see violent polemics on social media. We see aggressively partisan discourse in parts of the news media as well. And in this context where there is such an abundance of very partisan discourse and so many reasons for people to disagree, I think it is an open question, at least as we went into this research, as to whether what we have found before about the relatively strong public desire for some notion of impartiality in news at least still holds up.
So let's unpack some of the central findings on sort of the most crucial question: what proportion of people say they prefer impartial news versus news that takes that explicit position? What did we find?
Just to be clear about how this functions in the research, right, is that the question that we ask all the respondents in all the different markets across the globe covered by the Digital News Report in the 2026 edition is, we ask sort of a top level question where we say, thinking about the different kinds of news that's available, what do you prefer, getting news from sources that share your point of view, getting news from sources that don't have a particular point of view, getting news from sources that challenge your point of view, or of course, respondents can opt for saying that they don't know. So this is the way in which we put it to the respondents as a general question about news overall and their own preference about whether they seek what we might broadly think of as impartial news, or whether they want news that's aligned with their views, or even news that might challenge their pre-existing views. The top line across all 48 markets is that nearly half of our respondents say that they prefer getting news from sources that don't have a particular point of view. And this is essentially twice as many as say that they in general prefer getting news from sources that share their point of view. So a clear plurality that say that they have a preference in general for news that we might think of broadly speaking as impartial, and many, many more than opt for any of the other options that we offer in the survey. Now, I should hasten to add here that this is self-reported. This is what people tell us. And also that on closer inspection, of course, it'll be the case that some of the people who say they prefer news from sources that don't have a particular point of view may also engage with news sources that are clearly partisan. And in some cases, they might even primarily engage with news sources that you or I might think of as clearly partisan, but in their eyes are perhaps to be seen as more impartial or neutral, even if we might second guess that judgment. So it's really important to be clear here. This is what people say that they prefer. And sometimes there'll be a slight variation in terms of actual behavior that might complicate that that narrative. But generally, I think the top line finding is very clear. Twice as many people say they prefer, broadly speaking, impartial news as say they prefer news from sources that share their point of view.
A two-part question then, Rasmus. Because we've dipped into this question or dipped into this area a couple of times in the past, has it changed in terms of the findings over the years? And the second, there has been a body of sort of study in terms of whether different age groups respond differently to news and their beliefs around it. Were there any demographic differences that you could spot there?
Yeah, I mean, on the question of change first, the last time we fielded these questions was back in 2020. And in the intervening period, I think there is a clear intensification of, in particular, social media discourse, but also some forms of news media discourse in many societies, and also greater partisan rancor in at least some of the countries that we cover in the report. So we fielded these questions in part because we were interested to see if there had been any large-scale change in general public sentiment on this issue. But actually, I think the most important takeaway when comparing the data from 2020 with the most recent data from 2026 is that there hasn't actually been all that much change in the top line. There has been a slight decrease in the number of people who say they prefer getting news from sources that don't have a particular point of view, but it's really only a few percentage points. And the overall picture is still very clear that it's many, many more respondents than opt for any of the other options. And as a matter of fact, the share of respondents who say they prefer getting news from sources that share their point of view has also decreased. So it's not that there has been the move in the direction of a greater expressed preference for more attitude consistent information that one might have expected. And in fact, perhaps the most significant change is that the number of respondents who say that they don't know has really markedly increased from just under 14% last time to 19% this time. So about a fifth of our respondents don't really feel they're in a position to even offer a view on this question that we asked them. In terms of differences by group, again, I think it's important to keep front and center here the big picture, which is that across most sort of socioeconomic groups and most political views, at least at the aggregate across the countries and markets that we cover in the report, the picture is very similar. In most groups, there is a clear plurality who say they prefer getting news from sources that don't have a particular point of view. But there is a tendency that amongst younger people, amongst people with lower levels of formal education, it's a slightly smaller plurality that opt for, broadly speaking, impartiality, and in particular for those with low levels of formal education, there's a much greater number who say that they don't know what they prefer, who don't express a point of view.
Were there any differences in terms of personal versus societal preferences? Or do people extend or have a different set of ideas in their mind around impartiality at a personal level versus what they think about at a societal level?
So the reason we have data on this is that we were interested in exploring at least the potential for something that media and communications researchers call the third-person effect, the idea that sometimes we as individuals think about our own relationship with the media in one way, but think about other people, the sort of unknown third person's relationship with the media, in a very different way. So for example, people tend to think that they themselves are quite resilient in the face of misinformation or quite able to withstand the persuasive power of advertising, but often think that other people are quite susceptible to misinformation and advertising. These are sort of classic examples of the third person effect. So we were interested in the question of whether this was the case for people's perception of the relative desirability of relatively impartial news. But as a matter of fact, we find that people's preferences when it comes to their own news, but also when we ask the follow-up question about what kind of news they think other people in society should mainly engage with, that the answers are almost perfectly aligned. So in fact, it seems that people, at least when responding to these survey questions, have very consistent views on this matter. They believe not only that relatively impartial news is the right thing for them individually, but they also tend to believe that it's what they would like other people to engage with when it comes to news.
A large part of the richness of this report, Rasmus, is our ability to look at country differences. What sort of variation did we find across countries in this attitude? And did it sort of fold in with other preferences that we have found around news consumption?
Yeah, I mean, there are always going to be differences across the world. It's a wonderful manifold. And of course, with a report that covers more than half of the world's population, it would be exceedingly unlikely that public preferences and views of the news would be entirely consistent across all these different countries and markets. And that indeed is the case here as well. So it's the case that in half the markets that we cover, 24, half or more of the public say they prefer getting news from sources that don't have a particular point of view. In another 16 markets, it's the plurality, so the largest share of the respondents who opt for this option. But it is also the case that in the remaining 8 markets, which does include really important and populous countries in the majority world, South Africa, Nigeria, Mexico, Thailand, and a few others, there is actually a plurality of respondents who say that they prefer getting news from sources that share their point of view. So there are very important examples of countries where public opinion on this matter is a bit different from the general trend across the markets that we cover. And these are also markets that often have a different history in terms of journalism, but also more broadly in terms of politics and culture. And in some cases, countries where very independent and oppositional journalism has played a particularly important role in the struggle against colonial oppressors, for example, or other unfortunate kinds of regimes. There are also countries where politics might have a different texture from some of the other markets that we cover, or for that matter, where people access news in a different way. So as you allude to in your question, we try to sort of get a better handle on, well, what are some of the factors that might contribute to these differences across different countries and different markets, and what the public's preference is when it comes to the question of impartial or more explicitly partisan news. And I really need to stress here very, very clearly that there are limits to what one can analyze on the basis of survey data alone. We know from, of course, the experience of journalists and others, but also from reams of academic research, that trust in news is highly influenced by politics, by people's perception of different institutions in society, their level of interpersonal trust, and other factors that we're not measuring or documenting in the Digital News Report survey. So there are many factors that will influence people's perception and preference when it comes to news that we aren't measuring here. But there are some that we are measuring here and that we wanted to explore. And here I want to highlight two, really. I mean, I think one is the question of point of access. So is it the case that when it comes to people's preference for relatively more impartial news or relatively more explicitly partisan news, does this differ depending on how prominent, for example, social media are as a point of accessing news? Our thinking in looking at this was that we know from other research that, for example, social media seems to foreground more partisan and polarizing content and does seem to have a contributing role in eroding trust in news over time. So it was very possible, we thought, that countries with a higher reliance, where people have a higher reliance on social media for accessing news, might also see different attitudes when it comes to impartiality. And the other thing we wanted to look at was the question of political polarization. Here we rely on data from the VDEM project, where experts assess the level of political division in the society. And the thinking here was that in societies characterized by deeper, more fundamental, more antagonistic political divisions, people might think about the issue of impartiality differently. Now, what do we find then when we look at these two different possible contributing factors? Social media first. There seems to be a clear and statistically significant relationship between how many people in a country say they rely on social media as their main source of news versus how many people say they prefer getting news from sources that don't have a particular point of view. So we're not suggesting this is necessarily causal, and the correlation isn't as pronounced at the individual level as it is at the societal level, and all of this, we would be the first to underline, is complicated, but it is important to recognize that all else being equal, In countries where more people rely on social media as a source of news, there is a clear tendency that fewer people say they prefer getting news from sources that don't have a particular point of view. Polarization, second. Here, the picture is a lot less clear. So there is a sort of a weak correlation between how divided the VDEM expert survey suggests that a society is, and how many people say they prefer impartial news. But it's a much weaker relationship, and it's not at all clear that one can see this as a direct driving factor in one direction, because there might be a situation where, yes, some people may lose faith in the idea of impartial news, but others perhaps double down on it as they see these very polarized political environments. So there, the relationship is much less clear, slight correlation, some tendency in that direction, but we should be much more hesitant before assuming that there is a direct relationship here.
There is a paradox here for news organizations, Rasmus, that have been watching with some concern over the years with sort of the rise of news creators and that phenomenon. How does one square the two between the preference, the stated preference for impartial news versus this apparent attraction towards partisan, outspoken figures in news?
I mean, I understand entirely why many journalists or editors and other public figures might do a little bit of a double take when they see this strong and enduring expressed public preference for news that do not take a particular point of view. Because I think the daily reality that many journalists and editors and other public figures inhabit is, again, is a, as I said, is a daily media experience that where rancor and division and hostile criticism and partisan polemics loom large and really command a lot of attention and can press themselves upon people in quite unpleasant ways. But I think on closer inspection, I think it perhaps becomes easier to understand how we can live in a world where we have simultaneously this very visible and consequential volume of partisan polemics and principled vigorous disagreement, while also at the same time living in a world in which many citizens tend to prefer a more impartial forms of news, at least. Essentially, what it has to do with is that the people in our survey who say they prefer getting news from sources that share their point of view are also people who are significantly more likely to share and comment on news online and on social media. They are people who are significantly more likely to be very or extremely interested in news and politics. They are significantly more likely to place themselves at the left or the right end of the political spectrum rather than somewhere in the middle or not having a political stance. And they are significantly more likely to access news many times a day and also to pay for online news. So they are a minority, the ones who seek partisanship, but they do play an outsized role because they are more visible and frankly because they are more commercially important for many news organizations than the silent majority or silent plurality who continue to prefer relatively impartial forms of news.
And finally, what could the takeaways be then for news organizations on both sides, those that do sort of work towards an impartial news approach and those that don't?
I mean, I think first of all, it's important to, again, keep the top line finding here in mind. There clearly still is a large scale, significant public desire for some form of impartial news. These may not be the most commercially attractive and most engaged parts of the public, but it's by far the largest part of the public, a clear majority in many countries and a plurality in a large number of other countries. So there clearly still is public demand for this, and thus there should be opportunities both for public service, for nonprofit, and indeed for commercial media to meet that demand from large parts of the public. At the same time, it's also clear that our data and our analysis does suggest that there are real challenges facing the provision and ideal of impartial news. There is the commercial attraction on doubling down and trying to super serve the highly engaged and more partisan minority of people who explicitly say they want news that confirm their point of view and align with their point of view. So, you know, they are more commercially attractive and they may attract a greater share of provision than their fellow citizens. It's also clear that as we see a sort of a broad-based shift towards a greater and greater role for social media and other kinds of digital platforms, given that these platforms do seem to go hand in hand with a preference for more full-throated and perhaps opinionated forms of media, there too, there is a pressure on those who aspire to provide duly impartial news. So there are real pressures here, but again, we should not lose sight of the top line that again in 2026, we find that a much larger share of the public say that they prefer to get news from sources that don't have a particular point of view. And they outnumber those who say they want news from sources that share their point of view by about 2-1.
Rasmus, thank you for joining us for our podcast today.
Pleasure.
Our guest today, Rasmus Nielsen, Senior Research Associate at the Reuters Institute. And thank you, everyone, for listening to this episode of the Digital News Report 2026. This is our podcast series where you'll hear us unpack many of the elements from that report, and there will be more episodes coming through. If you want to stay across the work from the Institute, you can follow us on LinkedIn, subscribe to our weekly newsletter, or follow us on our Blue Sky bio as well. This was Future of Journalism, a podcast from the Reuters Institute. From the team here, thanks for listening. I'm Itali Mukherjee. We'll be back soon.